Now we read here that the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He's like him. But he said, I'm he. So you got three opinions here concerning the man. Some said, He's like him, but he's not the same man. He just sort of looks like him. That's pretty ridiculous in and of itself, don't you think? And we find some think it is the man. A great change had taken place. And you know what the change was? Not so much in his looks, but he's able to see. And they just couldn't believe it was that man. And the man, though, identified himself. He said, I'm the one. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, and this is his simple testimony, A man that's called Jesus, made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed and received sight. And friends, it's just as simple as that. You see that salvation is really a simple matter. It's a matter of just coming to the Lord Jesus and experiencing the power of God. And we need the power of God today. And all of these methods that I hear, and you have to do this, that, and the other thing, they're so non-essential. Now, the thing here is, Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. Up to this statement, he hadn't even seen Jesus. And yet, the Lord Jesus had opened his eyes. And the important thing was actually not to see Jesus, but to believe in him, you see. That was the important thing. And here's another group, though. Notice the reaction on them. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he'd received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Again, it's pretty simple. And you would think that they would have rejoiced. Why, my friend, even if these were cold-blooded church members, they should have been willing now to sing the hallelujah chorus, but not this crowd. And notice the reaction of the Pharisees. They don't know what to do with a man born blind that's walking around seeing. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Now, can you imagine that? You're aghast at such a reaction. And yet, friends, you find controversies today in our churches and arguments about non-essentials. And the world outside is dying and going to hell, blind to the gospel. My, they still do the same thing. He doesn't keep the Sabbath day. He doesn't do it our way. Others said, How can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They're really confused. And they made it a Sabbath question, a religious question, which it should not have been. Now they say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they call the parents of him that received his sight. You know, when men don't want to believe a thing, when they do want to really cause confusion and difficulty, it's amazing the little peccadilloes that they will attempt to dig up to really get away from the truth. And now will you notice this blind man is beginning to get his eyes open. He says he's a prophet. And they won't accept that. And they call the parents. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him. He'll speak for himself. Now, it was absolutely impossible for the religious rulers to deny a miracle had taken place. They asked the parents now to try to pull them out of this difficulty. And it's so easy today to sit in a swivel chair in some musty library in this country, far removed from the scene and the time, far removed from reality, and write a book and deny the miracles of Christ. But they didn't deny them in that day. And the parents, you see, have a great fear, and they are afraid of being excommunicated. So they won't commit themselves. They say, he's our son. He was born blind. He sees. That's all we can tell you. We don't know how it came about. But this is it. They were afraid of excommunication. Now, verse 22, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. And I think this religious conniving, and you see it in churches today, is one of the most pernicious things that is imaginable. Instead of meeting together to pray about getting the Word of God out and to support those that are getting it out, then they meet with the idea of actually hindering the getting out of the Word of God. How tragic that is. And these parents, they want it off the hook. And the religious rulers are trying to find somebody that they can hang this on. Now, the important thing to note here is that actually the religious rulers found themselves in a very tight spot. They were forced to admit finally that his eyes had been open. His parents testified that he is born blind, and they testified that this man was their son and that now he's able to see. But how, they are not prepared to explain that. They knew that would get them in trouble. And so the religious rulers now attempt to change the miracle, not from being a miracle, but from the Lord Jesus receiving credit for it.